In 2015, Southern Ohio was in the midst of an opioid crisis. The community came together and created a race. A race that would help prevent drug use in the area for generations to come. This is no ordinary race, and this is no ordinary story. The Buck 50 is a 24-hour team relay race that spans 150 miles of trails, roads, and paths winding through the Appalachian foothills of Chillicothe, Ohio. The Buck 50 has teams of 10 and 5 runners, two van drivers, all for one great cause. The Buck 50 is an incredible two-day adventure for runners, an organization that has vowed to fund every willing student wanting to live a drug-free lifestyle. This is the story of the Buck 50, the race that has created a ripple effect of change and inspiration for more people than we may ever know. One race, one cause. This is Running Off at the Mouth, the Buck 50 Podcast. Hey, welcome back to Running Off the Mouth. Excited to record another show with you guys today. Got William Preston in the house.
What's going on, Dave?
Doing well, doing well. And we have a special guest with us, Mr. Chris Stengel.
Man, we've got a big crowd here today, Dave.
We've grown, man. We have live audience on this show, Chris.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
So I've known Chris for a long time. You ran the first Buck 50?
Yeah, I did the first three, I believe, and then disappeared for a couple years and then came back for a few more.
Yeah. So you established the running, would you call that the running program? What do you call Run Fluent?
Yeah, I went to a running program, coaching program.
And I've personally done Chris's program, and I can tell you that if you're thinking about looking for a running coach, if Chris has room in his schedule, because I know he does a lot of people these days, but it's worth checking out someone who has expertise and knowledge in the running world, because it'll really open your eyes as to what's out there and what you can do different, more than just putting your feet on the street and pounding pavement on a regular basis. It's not quite that simple, is it, Chris?
No, I mean, there's a lot that goes into it. And the beautiful thing about what we do is it's constantly evolving. I have a lot of clients that I work with that are very involved in, you know, the research side of things and really testing the metrics that go into all of this. So we're always tweaking what we do to get better outcomes.
So you helped us design this 15-week training program that we've been using for the last couple of years. Could you maybe highlight a little bit of that or some of the things that go into what you might recommend someone preparing for the Buck 50 to get ready for race weekend?
Really, the biggest thing is, it's been our motto from the beginning, is to stay consistent with the program. The more consistent you are, the more efficient you're going to be, the faster you're going to be on race day. But when you look at the program itself, it's dived into a little bit of speed training, a lot of heart rate control work. Of course, you got your weekly long runs, some strength in there. And then, of course, the hills, because as you're attacking Ross County, we got plenty of hills out there.
We have no lack of hills around here, and we try to utilize most of them during the race. So it's definitely something that you want to prepare for. And you know, I think that you probably hit the nail on the head when you talk about being consistent. So even if you're someone who has an injury or has some life things that happen, like even if you can't do the full program that is designed for that day, doing something is probably better than doing nothing, eh?
Absolutely. We deal with that constantly with my clients. You know, injuries happen in this world, especially trail running and ultra running that we specialize in. So we basically just tweak the program that we have and turn it into low impact cardio, whether it be riding a bike or swimming or walking on an incline treadmill. So we'll still simulate the effort of the prescribed workouts without pounding on an injury.
Excellent. Yeah, that's really, just kind of the key is being flexible. And maybe that's something that, I think many times we relate running to life or life to running back and forth. And I know me personally, the one sin that I've made in years past is like, if I was going to go do an hour workout or I was going to get these, I might write down on my to-do list 10 or 15 things that I had to get done today. And there's times where life happens and you can't quite do the whole bulk of what you were choosing. But to say it was unsuccessful or to do nothing are not good answers.
Correct. I say that all the time. If you can't get in a prescribed, 60, 75 minute workout, but you can still go put a 30, 40 minute run in. It's far more valuable to get out and actually move than to try to push it off to another day or make it up. Just kind of try to stick with your schedule and do what you can.
Yeah, I love that thought process. And of course, like I said, I've benefited from it, but I think that willingness to be flexible in your training is important to end up, where you want to be at on race day, which is what we're all trying to do, is just getting prepared for the race.
Absolutely. I mean, inevitably, we're all just trying to be healthier human beings, keeping active, getting out there, serving a good cause. And we all want to be competitive. We all want to do well. But at the end of the day, getting out there and enjoying what you're doing and being around the amazing people is what it's all about.
Awesome. Awesome. Thanks. Well, let's talk about some of the things that you got going on with Run Fluent these days. You've really gone from a coach and a trainer to race director.
Yeah, it's kind of evolved very quickly. We've been very blessed. We kind of allowed things to grow organically. A few opportunities came about, and then they just keep coming. So when something happens and it's presented to me, if it makes sense, then we go with it. So, yeah, we now have 6 races a year, possibly a 7th coming this year.
So you're doing races in Florida and in Ohio, is that correct?
Yeah, we have 4 in Ross County now, 1 here in Tampa, and then 1 down in Venice, Florida.
Okay.
That one's getting ready to happen in 2 weeks.
What do those different distances look like? Or kind of walk us through the 12-month calendar as far as when those unfold and what people could expect or prepare for with you guys.
Okay. Yeah, the first one of 2025 is Coolidge in Venice, Florida. There's a 5K, a 25K, a 50K option. All of which are single loop options. So that's a pretty big draw, especially in the ultra world, not having to do loops. The next race is the big deal, a Great Seal there in Ohio. That was our first ultra that we've ever hosted. So this will be the 3rd year of that. You know that course pretty well. It's a 25K loop. So obviously the 25K is one loop. And then 50K is 2 loops. And then there's also a 5K there.
And is that Saturday, May 3rd?
Oh, sorry. Yeah, the first Saturday of May.
Okay.
And then the next one, we never really intended to be a thing. It's just another one of those that kind of presented itself and ended up being one of our favorite events last year was Matakwa 24-hour race. Right there in Matakwa, the Ross County Park District Park. It's just a 2-mile loop. So we were trying to figure out what to do with it. And when Miranda presented it to me, I said, well, we'll use it if we can do a 24-hour event. And she was all in. So we just offer a single loop race. So it's a 2 mile race for, you know, kids or people that just want to get out and get active. Or there's a 24 hour event. You can either do solo or a 4-person relay. It's a really cool vibe, but we limit it to about 100 runners because it's just limited in space. And then we have to park people and shuttle them in. So it's a lot of logistics to go behind it. So we're going to keep it small.
How's the 4-person relay work on that?
They can run as many loops as they want, as long as it's just one person on course at a time. So we have a timing chip that they pass off, and they can run, you know, 10 loops. They can run one loop, whatever they want to do, as long as there's only one runner on course.
Gotcha. So you could be a runner, and you can run 2, 4, 6, 8 miles, whatever you want to do, and then, or you could just run 2 miles at a time and just keep passing off every lap, eh?
Yep. Most of the teams did that last year, did one or two loops at a time. And we had one team that actually did 4 hours at a time, I think, because they had, you know, shifts or work they had to get to. But yeah, most people switch pretty frequently, kind of like we would do at the Buff 50.
Yeah, like when you're running the 5-person teams and you run six different times in instead of doubling up legs. Yeah, that makes sense. That really seems to be the most common way I see 5-person teams run. And that's, I mean, I guess time will tell what we end up here with in 2025. But last year we had 18 5-person teams, which was about triple what we normally have. Normally we have just 6 or 8, so... that was kind of cool to see that category grow so much.
I think the word is really spreading on the Buck 50. I mean, I know it's been around for quite a while now, but it's still new to a lot of people in the running world. So,
sure.
I think now that you're getting some bigger runners in that race, you know, Harvey kind of become a regular there, making a big splash.
Did you pay attention to those guys last year who flew around here in 14 hours and 18 minutes? Did you catch any of that?
I did. I'm glad I wasn't there.
That was fun to watch. I think virtually everyone knew who they were when they flew by, and their blue collar track club is signed up to come back, and their goal is to break 14 hours, which is, you know, very plausible, even if they just run the same race, because they got lost for 3 miles. So,
wow.
That's not the normal. Plus we have a lot of different categories this year, which will be fun to see those unfold with some age groups. Like, you know, you talked about like Harvey, and then there's Zach Kreft's team that, you know, ran 14:18. Well, Zach Kreft's team averaged 25 years of age. And Harvey's team is averaging 44, so there's a pretty wide stretch in there, and I think these new categories are going to be fun to see how those shake out on race weekend.
Yeah, it's exciting to see the evolution of it.
We got Matauqua in June, and
that's the first Saturday in June, or what, the 7th or whatever that is, and then we take a little hiatus through the heat of the summer. And then we come back to Saturday after Labor Day to Tar Hollow for Yodi. Yodi's another one that's single loop courses. This year we got lucky. I was really worried that we were going to have to cancel the race because the park was closed for all of 2025, the campground anyway. So we had to kind of work with the Forestry Service to find an alternate start finish line. So we'll be working like out of their maintenance shelter right there on Clark Hollow Road.
Awesome.
But it does. It has a single loop 25K, single loop 50K. And we normally have a 5-miler, but this year it's going to be a 10K just out of logistics in the trail.
Well, that'll work out perfect. We just talked to Michelle Collins earlier. She told us that 10K was her favorite race, so we'll make sure we pass that along. I think that's a great distance. you know, people get excited about, they're challenged by that, but not near like, you know, like a 25K might be.
Oh, for sure. We do a short course at every event. Just we want to get people in the trail running. And I know that's been evolving big time in Ross County, between you guys putting people in the trails, IRC, you know, the run club there, they've really been getting people out in the trails. And then now with us hosting these events, it's really, really growing.
Oh, for sure. It's fun to see. Like, I think that there's the topography has always been here, and there's been a few people who've taken advantage of that. But I've really seen some nice growth in the running community, taking on these challenging, you know, events that happen. And it just really brings people together in a super positive way.
Absolutely. And, you know, the mountain bikers have always, where they got to jump on the trail runners on Ross County. You know, they've taken advantage of it for years. But I really like to see the communication and the camaraderie between the disciplines. You know, you don't get too much conflict there like you do in a lot of other places.
No, you know, you make a great point there. And I think that the best is yet to come in that regard. We're working on a plan to develop some more trails and bring in some professional services to do that. And I know that a big portion of that is geared towards mountain biking, but at the end of the day, everyone will win because whether that'll just lighten up every other trail that's being utilized right now anyway. So I really think that there could be some growth in the trails department in Ross County in the years to come, which, you know, it'll just be exciting to see for sure.
Yeah, I was excited to see that petition come down. I forwarded it everywhere I could find. Yeah. Hopefully that all worked out.
Yeah, I kind of jumped in on that too. I was kind of like you. I saw the same thing and just thought, well, this is good. And then I've actually kind of dove into that group a little bit more to understand it and plan on working with those guys on a regular basis here going forward to try to get the Ross County Commissioners to do a little bit of investment in this. And it could really be a huge spark to some tourism and really just some health and wellness for people. If you got great trails and great access, and you know, I think it'll be encouraging for people to participate.
Certainly, I agree. I mean, we travel to all these small towns all over the country that host these amazing trail events. You know, the Clayton, Georgias, and places like that. And our little downtown's starting to have that feel back home, you know, there in Chillicothe. So I feel like there's a huge opportunity, you know, between everybody having their Airbnbs and, you know, all the restaurants and bars and everything they're doing downtown. A lot of opportunity to host big events. And, well, I talked to Miranda when we first sat down. Like, the one thing we're truly missing downtown is we need like a really nice outfitter store. So if anybody's looking to invest, that's one way to go.
You know, that is true. We don't have a running store, but we'll keep that a little quiet because sometime the Buck 50 may jump in that department if we can pull enough strings in the right direction. But outdoors, there's people here that love it. There's people that come here to recreate. It'll just be interesting to see what happens in the next, you know, 3 to 5 years in that department. But you got one more race after the Yodi, which.
The third Saturday, October, is Rule of the Roost at Buzzard's Roost. And I think this was the crowd favorite last year. It was the grand finale of our trail series that we had. We got lucky, perfect weather. We had a bonfire going the whole time in the fire pit up there. My wife was grilling pierogies for people.
Nice.
It was great. So, I mean, that's almost a 5-mile loop. So that was a race option. And then it was either a 12-hour solo or a 12-hour two-person relay. Same format as Matakwa, just different.
I really, really, really love Buzzard's Roost. I think that those trails up there are some of the funnest to navigate. There's some elevation there, but it's not cray-cray like Great Seal might provide to you. definitely some nice lookouts here and there that you can see. But they really, Miranda and her team have done a phenomenal job of trail building and making those trails dry and accessible almost any time of year.
Yeah, they've done a really good job with really the engineering side of it. You see, they closed one of the trailheads and rerouted it because of the erosion and things. There's smart people that realize there's ways to build trails without just going out and digging through the woods.
You know, that's something I've learned just from talking to Miranda. My daughter actually worked for Miranda last summer, two summers ago, and really enjoyed that process. And then, of course, Ty McBee with Chillicothe Trails and some of those guys. Just, it is not the easiest thing to build a trail, number one. And then there's a lot of physical labor that goes into that. And then number two, how to do it is most importantly, really a skill and an area of expertise that you got to have to end up with a great result.
100%, because if you don't know what you're doing, the trails won't last.
Yeah, erosion happens quick, and just understanding, you know, it's almost an artwork, I would say, you know?
For sure. I mean, you look at some of the trails, the older trails that Great Seal can get pretty rough, but the new trails that they're cutting, and the way they make them just kind of ride the landscape, it's really cool to see what they do.
Yeah, I think that can definitely continue as time goes by.
I agree.
So what about you got any races coming up? You raced really hard there year or so. I don't know if you're racing as hard, or maybe I don't pay attention as much, but what does your race calendar look like these days, Chris?
Kind of all over the place. A lot of my focus, obviously, has been in the race development and the coaching side. I'm still working full-time at the hospital, so my schedule's kind of crazy, but I race a lot in the summertime, even though I don't enjoy the heat, but that's when I have a little bit of downtime between events that we host. And then I have races here at the beginning of the year. So I'm racing right now. I'm preparing for Gasparilla Ultra Challenge. So it's road racing, which is not common for me. But they do, it's the Gasparilla Half Marathon, but they have multiple distances, and I'm going to be running all of the distances.
What will
and
that?
Then beyond that, I have the Florida Death Race in the beginning of March.
I've always noticed that you like to run in a lot of races that have the word death as a part of them.
The last couple of years, I say I'm going to like ease up and settle into the 50K range. One of those races where you can go run 4 or 5 hours and go have lunch with your wife. But somehow I always end up in these really long things.
Well, I think that it's like it's probably like most things in the running world, where it's like what you're trying to do is train, and then, you know, kind of prove to yourself, can I do this? Well, then once you can do it, that's like the biggest hurdle, and then it's a matter of just, you know, having enough training to match your mental toughness that you've developed. And so I'm sure there's times you're like, yeah, I'm going to go sign up for Beaten and tackle that one this weekend.
Yeah. I always say I want to stay competitive from a 5K to 100 miles, regardless, you know, of when it is. So if you tell me Saturday this race is going on, I'll feel comfortable getting into it. My biggest thing lately is trying to be a better coach. So some of these events that I'm not necessarily familiar with, I've been trying to dive into those. So I just did my first backyard ultra, which I really didn't have any intentions of doing, but I have some really good clients that have gravitated towards that. So I wanted a better understanding of how it works. So I ran one.
So this is, I actually, Greg Manson, who works with us, does a lot of running. He and I were talking about these backyard ultras versus a regular ultra, and he made a really, you know, the backyard ultra is designed to be 4.166 miles, you run a lap every hour on the hour, and you got 100 hours in 24 hours.
100 miles, yeah.
Greg's assessment of that was in the ultras that he's done. I don't know that he's done a full 100, but he feels like that start stop is pretty challenging. So how did you feel about that? Where, because you've done many, you know, long distance ultras, and then you tried this backyard ultra format. So how did you feel about that?
Yeah, I was in the middle of a podcast during that race. It's significantly harder than just running 100 miles. I mean, I've run several 100 milers around 18, 19 hours. I made it 25 hours in this race, and I had two of my clients ahead of me, so I just sat down and ate the popcorn.
There you go. Yeah, because, I mean, if you're feeling good, it doesn't matter. You got to stop and wait, you know, to the next hour pops off.
Yeah, you know, those first 12 hours, you don't want to take a break. And then once, you know, you're hitting 3, 4 o'clock in the morning, the breaks feel really, really short. You're trying to sleep a minute or two at a time. It's brutal. It's very, very mental.
Well, if there's one thing that I've learned, you know, this, we're getting ready to start year, this will be year 9 of the Buck 50. And I pay a lot more attention to what's going on in the running world now than I ever did before. And it's just, my assessment is there are no limits. There are no surprises. Whatever someone can dream up or make, people will come and do in some way, shape, form, or fashion.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible what the human body's capable of. And I don't even think we've scratched the surface. I mean, we got people in these backyard ultras doing, you know, 5 days, and they're just going longer and longer and longer. It's amazing and scary at the same time.
Yeah, I think there's just a complete understanding that it's possible. And everyone's buying into that. People are training for that. You know, you do it. There's folks like yourself who are training people all over the country in this discipline that takes a lot of effort, and it takes a lot of time, and it takes knowledge and experience. So when they're working, you know, with a coach and teaming up with some other runners, they can certainly shorten that learning curve to get where they want to go.
Yeah, I think that, especially with RunFluent now, we have such a huge team. You know, we don't even call them clients really anymore. We call them teammates.
Yeah.
But there's such a bank of knowledge of all these people in this group. You know, it's not my knowledge, it's the community knowledge that's invaluable.
Well, I'm certainly thankful for what you've done with us as a runner and running in the race and helping us design this multi-level, multi-tier training program to prepare our runners for race day. And you're really just doing some wonderful things with RunFluent. And I think now that you have the gas pedal of these events and these, you know, this team of people, I'm excited to see where RunFluent goes in the future. And certainly appreciate your time today, Chris.
Absolutely. Thanks for supporting us. And we've got to get a team back together to come up there soon.
You're always welcome, brother. I appreciate you, man. You have a good evening.
Thanks, brother. Take care.
All right. See you, Chris. We appreciate you listening to Running Off at the Mouth, the Buck 50 podcast. If you have any comments, questions, or concerns, please email us at raceinfo@thebuck50.com. And as always, have a great day, Buck 50 runners!